expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow. Little accent there, a little Southern Sovereign.
I was going to say, okay.
Southern Sovereign Minds there. Good morning, Sovereign Minds, sir. Jesus. Oh, boy. It is.
Cornmeal. It is. Cornbread.
Cornbread.
Why not? We're in the South.
Yeah, boy.
Hush
well,
puppies.
We might as well be in the South.
Yeah, hush puppies, you know.
The deep South, California is turning into. Today is July 24th, 2022. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And I'm not sure where the kid that rocks around the clock is. He must be on assignment still.
He's still on assignment. Oh, he probably will be back next week, you know.
Okay.
Sometimes life
gets in the way of...
Things happen. You know what I mean? So there you go. We do miss him.
We are brought to you by Mountaintop Media and Luke Pearson Construction Custom Homes and Excavating. He's licensed and bonded, and you can get a hold of him at 530-605-9575. And our producer, Liam, is here in the studio. He's doing a great job.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You bet. And I want to, before we get to our guest, I want to wish happy birthday to Riley Sally!
Happy birthday!
Yay! Happy birthday, Sally! Just so you know. We do care.
We do.
And we have a special guest with us today, Kevin Cry, who's running for Board of Supervisors, District 1, I believe. He's trying to supplant Joe Chimente, who has a special place in my heart, which we're not going to talk about at all.
And his running mate, if you want to say it that way, good old Aaron Risner.
I
don't know if running mate's quite right, but
I've just been having problems with Joe at the last few boards of supervisors meeting. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his condescending demeanor. I don't like his explanations for anomalies. He's been rubbing me the wrong way. That's all I got to say. What about you, Kevin?
There's a few of those out
well,
there.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I think this whole process has been just enlightening to see, you know, the different people and different factions or different parts of the county, how they're involved, why they're involved. And, you know, it's been, you know, and a lot of these people I've known 10, 20, 30 years. So.
Right.
It's kind of seeing, you know, people in different lights, positive and negative, and not that any of it's per se, like, you know, illegal or anything like that. It's just different opinions, you know, and you can watch a Super Bowl with somebody or coach their kids, and then you realize, like, you know, our ideologies are way different ideologically.
Yeah, no, I totally understand you. When I was first with the Tea Party, when we first started, I've been doing this stuff for 35 years. And we started with the Tea Party 15 years ago, right after 08, whatever it was. And I was really amazed at first at I thought everybody loved patriotism. I thought everybody was for the Constitution. I was completely taken by surprise by the fact that people didn't care sometimes about that.
You know, you'd say, is everybody, you would say, you know, doesn't everybody's like nose burn and eyes start to water when you say the Pledge of Allegiance or you see a rendition of, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, and then you have, you know, jets fly over, or there's a, you know, somebody throwing out the first pitch or something ceremonial, and it just ties everybody together and binds you by our country, you know,
right.
And veterans. And it's and I really realized, like, not everybody feels that way. There's a lot of people that feel the exact opposite. You know, they and then, of course, when people start taking knees and different things like that, it doesn't necessarily always mean they hate the country. They're just protesting in different ways. And I feel like there's some things that, you know, we just really differ on. And that's and then that's one of the things I'm really trying to, you know, as many listeners, you guys have obviously an enormous base of listeners and supporters. And as I've been, you know, looking at doing my radio show.
I'm sorry. Liam?
Yeah,
did you take care of the chat room?
I just got it.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
I didn't mean to interrupt. We got trolls in the chat room that are very foul-mouthed and absolutely...
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, it's okay.
They should actually be prosecuted.
Yeah.
I think they actually are committing crimes here, but, you know, until that happens, I guess we just have to put up with it. But
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. So, you know, for those that, I mean, I'm pushing, you know, my radio show back a couple weeks, which is, you know, and for me, the whole thing is I want to be available to people. Like, I didn't get into politics to, you know, to alter my life in any way, shape, or form other than just to try to make my community better. I mean, there's no agenda.
Right.
Like, I don't, you know, I'm not in construction, and I'm not saying anybody that's in construction that is in politics is, you know, just by default dirty or corrupt. But there's nothing I deal with the city and the county in that really affects my
business. Well, you're an independent business person.
I'm an independent business person, but also most of my stuff is done outside of Shasta County other than my ninja gym for kids, of which, you know, we serve a lot of them.
Right.
But, like, I don't rely on the government or bureaucrats or department heads, either at the city or the county. They have no say in anything I do.
And that's,
so,
you know, that's the way it should be, actually. That's how it was supposed to be, is that the government was supposed to be subject to the citizens, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be beholding to them at all. In fact, you know, Jefferson's vision was of an agrarian society of a bunch of independent farmers that were self-sustaining.
And they would take turns in the assembly.
Yes.
It was just like, who's next man up? And
so,
it was like, it's your turn to serve. And it was a duty.
You served.
In saying that, what are some of the issues that you see for the county that need to be dealt with? Yeah, fixed right away. Like, you know,
well,
on the top.
I mean,
that type of thing.
Yeah, obviously the mental health, the crime, the homelessness. It all ties in, you know, very deeply together. I've been spending the last six Saturdays out at Martin Luther King Park, and there's a group of really committed people out there. Actually, Councilman Mark Mazzano, has been coming out, I think, the last 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, there was a lady, Monique Whelan, who organizes that, along with a gentleman named Jerry and another person named Skippy. And I was approached, or actually I had asked about it, you know, I don't know, 3 months ago. And I said, hey, after the election, I will go out there. So, you know, true to my word, on Tuesday or on a Saturday, I went out there and I started to see really the at the ground level, at the base level, what's going on in our community. Why are people homeless? You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask. What have you got any concrete plans on what you want to do about it? Or
I think the first thing is we have to take. I think this is going to be well on its way sooner than later. But we've got to build that jail. I mean,
right.
the jail's got to be built, because the people that are breaking the law, there's
no consequences.
There's got to be accountability. And just because we've decriminalized crime at the state level.
The federal, as well as the federal
exactly.
level.
Exactly.
Have you seen the
yeah.
news about Pelosi and her husband on the insider trading?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. With his contract.
It's blatant.
Yeah.
And the real conversations, I think, have to start there. It's like the people that, I mean, there's people that choose to live a vagrant, vagabond lifestyle. And hey, that's great, but you just don't do it in Shasta County.
Right.
Just don't do it in Shasta County. But if you're going to do it here, you know, and the thing is we are not program poor. We have a lot of programs. We have a lot of programs that have plenty of resources that are completely untapped for the general population that are on the streets or out in the gully or the fields or Henderson Open Space. There's programs there.
Okay, so what would be a way to get a jail, I guess? How would you go about getting a jail put in?
Well, I know we have money set aside already. Yes. I know we have property out of Breslau, but if they are able to retrofit some of the existing property we have adjacent to the jail now, you're able to save a lot of money not having to have laundry services, food services, right. administrative buildings. You're going to cut down on that. So I know that's right now being talked about at the Board of Supervisors, and I think that's the fastest, cheapest way to do it. And
well, I think, too, it's even a bigger problem that I totally agree with what you're saying. It needs to happen. We need a bigger jail. We need the space. But we also need a district attorney who will prosecute somebody. You know, I mean, we
the
got
right
a,
person.
Well, we got a revolving door policy right now.
At this point, you know, we have our district attorney for at least for the next 4 years.
I agree.
We just had it. We just had an election. So I think what the general public needs to do is they need to like express those concerns that those people that are breaking the law need to be held accountable and prosecuted.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing when, you know, elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. So where we are right now is, you know, we have a district attorney, and I think the public and anybody else needs to push on that. One of the things I want to do is, you know, coming up, I'm going to have these roundtables, and my first one, August 7th, was going to be around bringing people in the, I'll say, the vertical of homelessness, whether it be the Good News Rescue Mission or Mike Maharo's organization, and then outside organizations that have done this in Salt Lake City, and they're working in San Diego. But again, the situation in San Diego that happened a couple years ago was brutal. They spent over, you know, almost 5 years on this project, and then after the election, the incumbent, who Kristen Gaspar, who was spearheading the program, was beat. And so then, you know, in retaliation, the person that, you know, winds up beating her or unseating her just destroys the whole program. And it was like on the cusp of being able to get that through. So I was excited about that. But, you know, but that'll still happen. That's what I think we have to do. We have to bring decision makers and people to the table.
Right.
And then the public's got to hold their feet to the fire. Because what we're doing is, you know, we're not having the public discourse that we should. And, you know, everyone's pointing at everybody else as why things aren't happening.
Well, I think we've got an entrenched, if you will, establishment group of people in this town that, you say elections have consequences. This is not a reflection on what you believe as much as what I believe. I'm just saying that I'm not sure that I believe that the election was fair and honest, especially in light of all the numbers and the fact that, you know, yeah, you could certify anything. We certified the election at the federal level with Joe Biden. Does anybody believe he got 81 million votes? Have you watched the 2,000 mules yet? I mean, so I'm starting to have doubts in the system as to that we're actually getting the people that we're voting for in there. So
right, and they wouldn't even introduce an idea of looking at it, the Board of Supervisors
right.
that we have to even look to see if that was a possibility, which is just crazy.
It was odd. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, I admit, I think that was odd. I mean, it does. I mean, what I want to do is I want to get everybody, like, just to be on the same page, and let's say, right. Hey, look, it like this table here is white or cream, or it is not dark. It is not colored. So once we can all agree that, hey, this is what it is, because it would have done one of two things. It would have obviously brought to light something that happened, or it would have just shut it all down.
Yeah,
that's my
exactly.
point. Or it would have proved that there was nothing, and then I would have actually breathed a sigh of relief if it would have. Then I would know what the issue is. The issue is we need to get out to the voters. Maybe they need to be more educated. Maybe they, I don't know, but at least we would know we had a true vote. But we do.
Well, you're 100% right, because for me, like, you know, being a baseball guy, I love sports in general, but being a baseball guy, when Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa are all just, you know, crushing the ball 500 plus feet consistently, and home run records are falling, and everyone's saying, you know, the ball's juiced, or the bats are, you know,
or the players are
juiced, and, you know, and for me as a strength coach, I would sit and look at that and say, well, I can tell you that they're taking something.
Sure,
they're not eating meat and potatoes and having a big glass.
All you
got to
do is look at McGwire's rookie card and then look at McGwire.
Yeah, and
about
then,
10
yeah.
years later.
And then it begs the question. It's like, okay, well, if the pitcher's juiced and the batter's juiced, and it's like it's a level playing field, and, you know,
if everybody's juiced and everybody agrees to be juiced, I'm okay with that. But
I mean, you know, and for me, I just want things on the same page, like
right.
where we can say, hey, you know, I don't want to say so-and-so's corrupt, but guess what?
Right.
If it's validated and it's true and it's proven, then you say, hey, look, this is the definition right. of corruption.
Let's,
all right. We do have a caller on the line. We've got Terry. Good morning, Terry. You there?
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
I'm here.
You're on the air, Terry. What's up?
Okay. Well, I wanted to... Kevin mentioned that there were some programs for the homeless and that we could use, but I'd like to hear specifically what he's talking about, one. The second thing I'd like to know is when we talked about the district attorney, the people can put the pressure on, but the Board of Supervisors has jurisdiction over several things over the district attorney. Maybe Kevin could explain what those things would be and how in a supervisor role he could have an influence over the district attorney that maybe people just complaining wouldn't have so much. We've tried that. That avenue doesn't work. And what are some of the programs for the homeless that we're not using that we could use? And would the supervisors have jurisdiction in enacting those programs or pushing them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think one of the things in homelessness, what we have here in Shasta County is, I mean, I believe we have no less than roughly 30 different vendors that are pulling money, either state, federal, or county, towards different programs. And for me, I think we have to really look at which ones are working and which ones aren't. And the ones that are, we have to, like, really get behind those. And then the ones that aren't, we have to cut those and start funneling money to the ones that are doing a better job with that. And one thing for me, as I've looked at other communities, traveled, et cetera, I've noticed that some of the ones that are more successful are the ones that are taking that and they're privatizing it and they're giving it to organizations that are, you know, for-profit organizations that say, hey, look, you know, we're going to bid this and then we're going to be held accountable by this bid. And if they don't do a good job, they lose their funding. Because right now we just keep pouring in more money, and it's like you're watching a plant getting watered.
I think you're spot on with the Board of Supervisors holding the purse strings, and I think they need to exercise that power at some point.
Well, and right now, federally, we're just printing money. That's why gas is going to be $10 a gallon, a loaf of bread $15, and a gallon of milk $20.
It's even worse than that. Right now, if you've been watching the 10-year yield at all, it's bobbing up and down like a cork because the Fed is basically just supplying Airbucks to buy our own debt, and China has dumped our debt down to a $1 trillion of debt. They used to be like $8 trillion, the highest holder of the debt. And so what's happening is I'm expecting a huge surge in inflation in the next coming months, which is going to make everything even worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And so getting back to Terry's question about, you know, a program, one program I've really looked at, I mean, again, I haven't flown there yet. I do want to go there soon. But in Salt Lake, what they've done is they purchased a really, really rundown, basically mansion. I mean, I think it can house up to like 85 people originally, and then it didn't cost the taxpayers any money. They actually used private organizations, and it really was based on people getting back on their feet, working, and then, I mean, God forbid, right? Like a person working for their wage, feeling good about themselves, getting on their feet, and then moving on. And what we've done is, I mean, if you put a person who is addicted to substance abuse, and again, I will say there is a percentage of people that absolutely do have mental and even physical ailments, and they are not capable. And we have to help those individuals, but that's not the majority of the people. The majority of the people that I'm running into every Saturday down at MLK Park are people that are addicted to a substance. And it's hard when you see like off Masonic, you know, over there by Lake Boulevard in that encampment, which goes down by Miracle Mile, you see somebody taking, you know, two bikes, which obviously aren't their bikes. They're little kids' bikes. And it's really disheartening because, you know, some mom, some dad, some grandparent, some caregiver probably worked their butt off to get those bikes for those kids, whoever those belong to. Then you see somebody walking with them and it just drives me nuts. So anyway, back to the organization, it's really based on people having to work. No more handouts. They stopped a bunch of these free programs and said, hey, that's it. You know, and the quote was used. They said, you know, it's ironic to them. They said, when people keep leaving bags of sugar out on their counters and the ants keep coming and they say, I can't understand where these ants are coming from.
Right.
And they said, so we took that away. What we did was we stopped all the handouts And then from there, people said, oh, how am I going to get money for stuff?
I think you have to revitalize the community economically as well. And that's been part of the problem with this pandemic and the shutdowns. Now, the World Health Organization just declared the monkeypox and they're going to try to do it again.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to stop.
Yeah. And you need supervisors that are going to hold the line, and they're going to be uncompromised in what they believe. And for me, family, small business, we have to make Shasta County cleaner, safer, more affordable, because it's not getting better.
And with that, we do have a caller. Good morning, Indian Dave. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
How you doing, Dave? It's been a while since I talked to you.
I'm glad to hear Kevin on there. They got some, talking about possible solutions. Possibly, and I don't know if this has been brought up, but why can't we take the money that we use to clean up all their trash and crap and put these people on buses or planes or trains back to where they came from and tell them not to come back here?
How about Washington, D.C.?
I thought they did that before.
Let their hometown take care of them. I don't know if they did it before, but I think it would be a good deal. The other thing would be, if we're going to keep them here and if we're going to do something, and like he was saying, that mansion, you know, there's a, on Park Marina, there's a great example of that, that motel that's down there. They could go in and revitalize, put people in there, put them to work in the restaurant, get them the help they need with social and, health and healthcare and mental. And get them to work and get them back into society, and let's do it. That motel has been run down for, I don't know, 15, 20 years now. Let's use it. Let's do something with it.
All right. I'm sorry, Kevin.
I was going to say that
I thought it was a few years ago they did that. They put them on buses and sent them back to their hometown, and they ended up coming back, and the reason they said that they were coming back was because there was so many services that they could get so much free crap. That's why they kept coming back.
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, there's...
we got to cut that off. That's for sure.
Well, stop
that immediately.
Well, I believe they're going to pay to get on their own bus with their own bus ticket and get out of here when they realize that they're going to be incarcerated if they continue to break the law and illegally camp, start fires, steal, etc. I believe that'll happen. Why would you stay here? I mean, it's no different in any other sector. A person's not going to stay at a job if they could make the same somewhere else, but have less hassle, easier. They can slide under the radar, etc.
Right. You bring up a good point about the fires and stuff. I don't understand this in Shasta County, that all of us have to have defensive space around our house. Blah blah. You can't have a barbecue. Blah blah blah. But the homeless can have all the fires and stuff they want because they're warming fires.
Yes.
I don't understand that. And where do most of the fires start? In the homeless camps.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know what that goes, know, what that goes so, back to is that goes back to the fact that you have the ability to be alive, basically. I can't really think of the term that they use where, you know, if you're out there in the woods and there's no fire, you have the ability to make a fire if you're cold and you're in trouble. You know, just because, even if it's illegal, because you have the right to live. And I think that's probably what they're hanging their hat on. It's same on food and stuff, you know. But then you go down to San Francisco, they're openly letting them steal out of the stores. There's no prosecution of anything. I watched a deal on it yesterday or the day before. These guys just walk in, they watch them take whatever they want. And we haven't got that bad yet here, I don't think. But maybe we're going there.
Yeah. I mean, when you say we're going there, nothing would surprise me anymore about where we're going. I mean, you know, when you talk about the monkeypox and how they've declared that an emergency, you know, you just sit and think, there's no way. There's no way the country's going to go for that again, or here in Shasta County. But they
have done that, like with Walmart and stuff, maybe not to the magnitude of San Francisco, but they go in and out of there on a daily thing, stealing stuff or taking stuff, and it's a revolving door.
They're making no bones about it. I mean, this is a world thing, you know, the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab, all of that. I mean, they're really attempting to take control of the world, if you will, and they've made no bones about it that they're using the pandemic as a pry lever. But you know, there's people out there that will wear a mask no matter what, no matter the science has come out says they don't help anybody.
But it's okay if they want to wear a mask. I mean, if they want to wear it, and if they feel comfortable, wear
as long
it.
As they don't force me to.
Exactly.
Bingo.
I think
what are my kids?
I think all what we want is we just want liberty and we just want choice.
Right.
We just want to be able to make the best decisions for ourselves and for our family and
right.
for those of us that are business owners. We just want to be able to say, hey, I took the risk out. No one's going to bail me out. There's no social program saying, hey, like school debt, you know, you went and got this degree. It cost you $100,000. You don't want to pay it back, so we'll do it. They don't have that in a small business. They don't say, hey, you went and got a truck. You know, and you went and got a trailer, you went and got a yard, and you put X amount up as collateral, or you signed your life on the line. They're not going to bail those small business owners out. So I just want small business owners to have every opportunity they can to succeed in Shasta County.
Well, and the problem is, and I guess are we out of time? Do we need to go to a break?
We're getting close.
Okay.
We're right around there, but I mean, we can.
Let's go to a break and then we'll come back.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
BNT Satellite has you covered with a 2-year TV price guarantee from Dish. Great TV service, stable price, no surprises.
Don't call the 811 number.
Call 530-241-3474 or visit BNT Satellite, your local premier Dish retailer today.
Monthly equipment fees and other restrictions apply. Recording hours vary. 2,000 hours based on SD programming. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device.
Okay, so I was having a BG moment this morning, all right? I don't know. I watched a special on the Bee Gees last week, and I really brought back a lot of memories. I'm sorry.
Well, okay? I'm just thinking a lot of people don't know even know who the Bee Gees are. You
there's
know
only
what I mean?
One. There's only one Bee Gee left. The rest of them are dead.
So it's just B.
It's just yeah.
Or G.
Yeah,
it's
or G.
Robin is the only one left. Okay. All right.
We all have our moments, you know.
But so sometimes putting the music together is kind of difficult, depending on what you're thinking at the
moment.
Okay,
here we go again. I'm sorry. In the chat room again, Liam.
Yeah, I swear to you, this guy needs to be.
I got you.
All right.
Talk about
you.
Being needs to be prosecuted. There's one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every other thing. He's going to make a mistake.
Yeah, if you're so brave, why don't you just come down to the studio and walk in here and talk with us?
No, he's not brave. He's a freaking coward, and we know what it is, and we probably know who it is. And it's just unfortunate that these people are so screwed up in the head that...
they find that stuff funny?
No, I don't even think that. It's a disruption thing. It's more of a, gee, look, I can do this and get away with it. It's like a little kid. You know, it's like somebody who never grew up. So anyway, let's get back to
our
topic.
Sorry
here.
About that, but thank you, Liam.
Yeah.
So let's see. Another Williams has an agenda. Local edge. So here's a question from the chat room. I think it's the BOS this Tuesday, 9 a.m. has an agenda with local HHSA, Health and Human Services. Needing a temporary 120-day change in the organizational chart. Why? I don't know if you know anything about that. What is really going on? R2, Laura Birch presenting, Michael Volks in charge since Ranch. And it's kind of a good thing to bring up here about this Health and Human Services because I think you're going to see more and more of this problem, especially if they try to do the monkeypox thing. And Shasta County's a little different. We're probably going to give them the big middle finger, but, you know, I'm not wearing a mask and, but the fact that we went through all that, now we've got rid of, Ranstrom and we got somebody temporary, operating the organization, it just begs the question, where are we going again? Do you have any comments?
I have plenty of comments, but I can't speak as to, as a health expert with monkeypox or anything else. But what I know, again, is, I believe if there's a business and the proprietor, the owner of that business says you have to wear a hazmat suit in my place to shop here, that's their prerogative.
Right.
They get
I
to do
that.
Yeah. And I don't have to, it's like the no shirt, no shoes, no service. It's like, okay, those are your rules.
I don't have to go there.
But guess what? If I have a business, and let's just say hypothetically I have a business with kids, right, who have their fingers in their nose and mouth and everywhere else, right, and they're touching everything, and I say, look, we just want you to wash your hands, maybe put some Purell on when you get here just to make sure. But we do that anyway because we try and have a clean facility. Other than that, I want kids to be kids.
Right.
I want kids to experience joy, and that's where my comments start because that's where my campaign started was at the feet of our kids and our families and our small business.
Right. That's kind of what brought you into the arena. That's
100%.
A good way of, why I'm bringing it up as well because the real deal is that if it was as serious as they had said it was and the numbers were what they had projected, it might be a different story. But it wasn't. It never proved out to be what it is. And now there's so much proof that the vaccinations themselves are the problem. I mean, look at
But it goes back to it's our choice. It isn't the government telling us
because
what our choice is.
Once you hand over
that. It is our choice to make that decision whether we want to or not.
Well, once you hand that over to a government body, their choice is going to be better than your choice for yourself?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the fact that we're even talking about this in 2022,
crazy.
Coming up on 2023, is just bizarre to me because it feels like the Twilight Zone. But now at least we have a lot of data and we've seen how our liberties can be stripped. And when I say liberties, like I don't wear a tinfoil hat, I don't have 37, bumper stickers. I mean, I'm just a regular dad, and that's the thing about running for office. I haven't changed who I am.
Right.
And that's the whole thing about going back to really briefly to the radio show is about just people can call in and know, hey,
like, I'm going to be available. And I've given my cell phone number out. But again, what I've learned is people don't want to come talk to you. They don't want you to have their number, which is weird, but that's fine.
I think part of that is the privacy aspect, is that we're getting so bombarded with calls that you don't have any free, they've taken, the technology has taken over our lives, whether it's the phone, the texting, everybody has so many ways of communicating with you. I shut it off after a while because I got to have some sanity.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of candidates on, quote unquote, both slates, right? That just ran. I mean, I've talked to a few, and I've heard one common theme is, hey, it's nice once June 7th was over, because then they didn't have to check their Facebook page or their messages and to see what was going on and what was being said, because it just kind of stopped for a period of time. You know, and it's just, and we're also captive by technology, but at the end of the day, I've coached, been in the public eye in different capacities as you have both. You know what? I've got pretty thick skin.
Right.
So it's like, I know who I am, and I'm not going to change that, and I haven't changed that.
Right.
And if anything, I just want to be more accessible, because you can only knock on so many doors. You don't talk to everybody, but everybody needs the opportunity.
Do you have any specifics as far as what you plan on doing when you get in there?
Well, like I mentioned, the one thing that I track and watch the closest is anything as it relates to building the jail, getting more jail beds, and how we're going to address the situation of, homelessness, mental health, crime. I mean, that I think is going to be well on a track by, January 1st.
Right.
The other thing for me is, and I talked about this early on, but I really, and again, you can talk about, people can talk about jurisdiction all they want, but one thing you have as an elected official, and I don't even care what office you're elected to, you've got a platform. That means some people know in some capacity that you represent some segment of society. So at the Board of Supervisors, when it comes to jurisdiction, obviously the superintendent of schools, are actually the school boards, have more jurisdiction over those different public and charter schools.
Right.
I would like to see the county get more involved in facilitating opportunities for kids, especially from marginalized backgrounds or below the poverty line, because kids the last couple years have been robbed. I mean, just flat out have had stolen years. And not just years of just, the days and the minutes, but they've actually had learning opportunities stolen from them. And we got to catch them up, because I do.
How would you do that, though?
One thing I want to do is, there's a program that they have in charter and some homeschool networks where there's a little pool of money, anywhere from $50 to $100 a month that goes towards, and then the kids don't get it directly, but vendors get it. So if a kid wants to take karate lessons in lieu of having PE or whatever in their homeschool network or group, they can, go to a martial arts studio or gymnastics studio, and I'll even say a ninja gym. We're a vendor, and I've said very, very publicly, if it meant I had to sell my ninja gym to get this program through, I would, or I wouldn't be a vendor, but I would rather sell my ninja gym. And I love it. I mean, I love looking outside. I have a big window. It looks out onto the course. And I love watching kids.
So what do you do?
So what I want to do is I want to get a pool of money. We're talking like 1.5%, maybe 2.25% out of the Health and Human Services budget, and give it to, start with kids kindergarten through third grade, where they can then apply, or vendors can apply to have that funding. And then kids.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
And then kids, those parents who can't afford karate lessons, get into approved programs. But one of the things for vendors, they've got to be mandatory reporters, because I believe kids right now, obviously during the pandemic, the number of reported abuse cases dropped. The people touted, oh, they dropped, they're down. Well, they're down because the people
reporting.
No one's with those kids.
Yeah, nobody's reporting.
And so I want extra training for those vendors.
I think you've gotten two things going on, not to interrupt you there.
Sure, no, it's okay.
You've got the people that have pulled in away from it all
and
have taken over and taken charge of their kids and their education and their recreation, all that. And then you have the other side that have pulled away from everything, and the kids are being, it's a form of abuse when you're not taking care of them properly and teaching them and being a mentor and a father and a parent. And I think a lot of that has happened because people are just overwhelmed with what has happened. When you pull all the jobs out of here because everybody shuts down because Walmart can stay open because it's essential, but Ma and Pa over here can't, you've killed the economy, and now you've got a separation. And I think part of that is because some people said, we're going to do it anyway. We're not going to pay attention to you. We're not going to sink because you told us to.
Yeah.
And then you got the other side that complied to a degree or had to comply to a degree, and now they're suffering.
And one thing I want to put in here, too, it made parents aware of what was being taught or not taught or was actually going on in the school system that needs to be fixed or dealt with.
Yeah.
And so, like you say, some people pull their kids out. Some people don't have that opportunity.
Right. Some people can't afford to.
But
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
How long would have went on before we would have known, or some parents? I mean, some of us were aware of it. But there's, and that's a form of abuse, some of the stuff that they were teaching, allowing the kids, the teachers, to give to the children.
Yeah, you know, and what,
you know?
Exactly. One of the things, getting back just to the question about what would you do, again, like, having a voice, like, you just got to stand up. You just got to stand up for especially the people that can't stand up for themselves. I've always said it. Kids can't choose their parents. You know, they're born into the family or the situation they're into. And by the time you realize it's really bad, there's a lot of developmental years and damage sometimes done. And I want to spearhead the reversal of that. So I think in conjunction with the jail, I think if we want to keep a lot of these kids that have been affected by the last 2 or 3 years of the disturbance in their life away from the criminal justice system, we've got to understand there's a huge group of individuals, young kids, that are behind academically, socially, and now it's an all-out assault on those kids, you know, and it already has been with social media, but we have to address that. And I'd like to see the county step in and get proactive. I know Supervisor Jones made a motion about getting resource officers at every site, you know, so I'll be curious to see how that continues to go.
Yeah, to make hard targets
I mean, it's not a matter of you know, if it's going to happen in Shasta County. I mean, it happened in Tehama County, you know, so it will probably happen in Shasta County. And, but, you know, I think we could really deter that with, you know, making sure that there's, and again, it comes down to, you know, the fiscal ability to do that. But we just got to look out for our kids. We have to look out for our kids.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I've got a clip here, I don't know if I'm going to play it today or not, but, about the teachers, they let the smut into the curriculum. And their parent goes up in front of them and starts reading it. And then they made her shut down because it was too nasty for them.
It was too graphic.
Too graphic.
But they'll teach that to the children.
But they're completely numb or, I don't know, don't acknowledge the fact that that's being taught to the kids and shouldn't be in the curriculum in the first place.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah. Anyway, what else we got?
Well, you know, one of the things, too, that I think that we have to look at as we look at, you know, this next election in November. But I think it's also, you know, it isn't just what the issues are of today, but it's, you know, what could happen in the future? You know, and when you talk about experience, it's like when people are given the opportunity to lead, what do they do with it? How do they handle it? How do they wield, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, which doesn't work when you're on, obviously, the air, but how do they wield that power, right? And do they see it as power or do they see it as a responsibility? I've always seen every leadership opportunity as a responsibility. Now, do I think I was successful in every single one? Absolutely not. There's things I've done as a coach, as a business owner, that, you know, I'm not super proud of, but never, ever did I do anything that was illegal. Did I ever do anything that jeopardized the integrity of the office or the position that I held? And I think that's what's important. I think people need to understand that there's going to be a lot of things that's going to be faced with this county, and they need to be able to look that person square in the eyes in public comment or at the grocery store or, you know, at any business and have that dialogue. And do they know that that person they're electing, that they're giving their vote for, is going to have their best interest at heart, at the core of that decision? And that's everybody, not just the people that supported them. Because for me, you know, I've really had some of the most impactful conversations I've had since June 7th were for people that told me they did not vote for me but plan to vote for me going forward. And it's after the dialogue that we've had. And that's why it's important that people get to know their candidates. They got to get to know their candidates because that's the biggest delineation. And, you know, and there's four of us. There's two in District 5, two in District 1. So what I would really hope is there's real, like real debates, not forums, not cookie cutter
questions.
Yeah,
we used to have those.
Not softballs. I mean, I want to be able to ask my opponent questions. But honestly, and I've said this, I don't really feel like I have an opponent. I feel like I'm running for Shasta County. I'm running for what I believe many people want. But I would love the opportunity to have a real, I'm not saying like the McLaughlin group, if you remember
right,
that
yeah,
show,
yeah.
Where they're all yelling. I don't want that.
Yeah, or what's that other one where they all got in fights? I can't remember that one.
Maybe the Jerry
Springer. Maury Povich.
Yeah, Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer.
But again, like I know from a very articulate, I'll just say it like this, like, you know, it's not just, you know, your experience, it's what you've done with that experience, you know. And I've always tried to do as many things as I could from, you know, behind the scenes. I don't want credit for stuff. I don't want people to know. And I think that's why, you know, I just went to a wedding this last, you know, Friday, I went to a wedding of one of my former players. You know, I get invited to so many weddings and so many different things, and it really just comes down to you sow enough seeds over time, you see that harvest. And there's a lot of people that I've really poured into that are reaching out and saying, Kevin, you've got to get out there more. You've got to get out there more.
Well, you know, I think, and I think Michael Jordan, I think I'm quoting Michael Jordan here. He said that I fail, therefore I succeed. And sometimes the road to success is to understand and learn from your failures, and everybody's going to fail. It's like playing basketball. You know, if he couldn't do a left-handed layup, he'd work on till the left-handed layup till, you know, it became his strength. And so I think that we all have to embrace that to a degree. And the definition of leadership from my perspective is, you know, the man who serves the most. That's what they taught us in the Army. It wasn't about, you know, who gets to tell everybody what to do. It wasn't about, I get the most favoritism. It was about that I serve more than anybody else. So the position is a position of responsibility. And I think that, you know, we need to get that instilled in our leadership more. I don't think it's there at this point at all. I mean, to some degree, you know, when we look at across the board, we've failed in that. And I think it's based on a moral compass that we've sort of lost touch with.
Yeah,
I mean, there was one thing that I, because, you know, one of the things Les Baugh did, or, you know, Supervisor Baugh, when he, and even then, right, I struggle to say Les Baugh versus Supervisor Baugh. And it's nothing personal of Les, but it's like I just have this, like, you know, there's maybe one or two titles that I really would, Mr. President, right?
Right.
Or, you know,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I know, right? I know. But for me, one of the things is, you know, like when he took over his chair, he moved where he did public comment from.
Right.
And one of the things I would love to do is, this comes at a huge, you know, cost to the taxpayers, but I would love it to be like auditorium seating where it scales up and the Board of Supervisors are on the ground and everybody's looking down on them. Like,
yeah, because, I get it. You know, it's the Alcalde and the high seats, you know.
I just don't like what our government and our bureaucrats, I don't want to say have become, because I know that they've been that way
for a long time.
Forever. And, you know, and if you go back to the very beginning, you know, George Washington turned down another term. He's like, no.
Well, some of that's our own fault. You know, unfortunately, we fell asleep or whatever you want to put. You know, we weren't engaged into what was going on in our community like we are now.
The thing to know about George Washington is they wanted him to be king.
Yeah.
He turned that down.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the sign, in my opinion, of a great man. The best guys to lead are the guys that don't want to do it, but are doing it out of a sense of responsibility to the community.
And we do have a caller on the line. We've got Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I'm still laughing on the Rock'em Sock'em TV shows in the old days when they just start doing like All-Star Wrestling. That's a talk show.
Jerry Springer, yeah. Hey, you've got...
That used to be a game, too. Like, Rock'em Sock'em, remember?
Yeah, robots. It's like, yeah. you have my love child and I've never met you.
I'm sorry, that's just so funny. I just want a clarification and I'll ask a question and take my answer off the air.
Okay.
You mentioned August 7th, which is a Sunday. Kevin, where would that be, the time? And it sounds like you have a radio show or podcast. And then my formal question is, yes, we've seen the parents in the past 1 or 2 years at the school boards, and they made national news as they were sharing their opinions and their stress and their honesty and how the media treated them. We've got those mass school shootings, which is a 2A issue. We've got autism, learning disabilities, the damage has been done from this masking, or what few parents, I understand, actually got their children with this COVID experimental EAU. We've got the loss of teachers, aides, they're quitting, retiring, sick, or died. So, yes, we have a big reset, not just in education, but in the medical field. So, Kevin, could you define, explain, or maybe share your opinion on, with kids that are either in these gyms or in PE class, the healthy kids that are having cardio issues, lung issues, vital organs, they're having strokes, they're having clots, they're having seizures, all the rest. Could you share, because you've been a gym owner, where do you see this going? And I know, I think you're pro-choice on this. You just let people decide, and that's why you have test kits at apparently your facility. Could you clarify, and I'll listen off the air.
All right. Thanks, Lori. We appreciate it.
Sure. Well, so just to clarify, when we throw out pro-choice, I mean, that's now used in a lot of different capacities. So I am pro an individual making their own medical decision as it relates to vaccines and, you know, any kind of masking or not. But one thing I want to go back to that you just said, we had test kits at our facility for a very, very short time. I think it was maybe, I don't know, a week, 10 days, something like that. And really what it is for me is I have no problem and I will not stand in the way. Actually, I'll be the opposite. I will champion any parent or person's ability to do what they see fit for themselves. Myself, I'm not going to test. Like, I'm just not going to do it unless, like, just like it, when if I had strep throat, if I go to the doctor and he says, hey, I think you have strep, I want to run a culture, okay, because I think that's the next step. One thing I can tell you with kids, when you start messing with any kind of substance, whether it's a vaccine or it's testosterone, human growth hormone, or anything like that, you're starting to mess with the chemistry of your body. And when you do that, it is going to have consequences. And I think when you and again, I'm not a medical professional, but for me and my kids, I think it's really, really important that parents educate themselves on exactly what they're doing, because things you do to your kids now are going to have repercussions for the rest of their lives. But, you know, here's the most simple thing I tell people. Like, why are we having these big conversations about vaccines, but yet as a parent, you haven't made your kid eat a vegetable in 10 years? Or
agree with their diet.
I see them drinking sugary drinks one or two a day, mm-hmm, opposed to having water. It's like, yeah, water's boring, but guess what? Your body's made up of mostly water, 80-90%.
Good for you.
You know, so there's a lot more simple things, but I think it's very real. Like Hank Gathers, when he passed away, I think it was Loyola Marymount, when he had a heart attack and passed away on the court. Actually, we had one here locally in the 90s. I think it was 96 or 97. Brett Mercer, you know, died at Enterprise High School. He played at Parsons. Right before I got to Parsons in the, I think it was 97, you know, he had a heart attack on the court and died. So I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of kids. I think we're going to see more of those just based on what the data is showing us and the frequency of these things since the vaccines have come out. And maybe it's not because of the vaccine. Maybe because there was some kind of cheese in macaroni and cheese and that's what's caused it. I don't know. But
to your point, it's not just going to be the kids. It's anybody. I mean, that affects anybody, yeah, no matter what age you are. Yeah. When you start alternating the body, yeah, or introducing stuff like that, it's going to have an, yeah, effect. And I agree, and that's something I've said from the beginning. They don't teach, or they haven't. They're starting to more about diet and everything,
yeah,
for people, whether you're kids or not. That's very important.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing for me, again, this comes back down to what Mark had said. Like, I'm 100%, I'm always going to err on you know, in individuals' rights and freedoms and liberties. And for me, like, I'm really unwavering in that. And like, I'm very passionate. I have a purpose with most of that. And, you know, I'll give you another example, like the tribe. I recently got endorsed by the tribe, by the Ring Rancheria. And one of the things when you go before them, they ask you a series of questions, and they asked about about being supportive of the tribe. And you know, I said, I could care less if I get an endorsement. I support the tribe because of a long, long history I've had with the tribe in terms of doing things for the community, in most cases for kids. So even if I wasn't endorsed, by the now that's not probably the quote unquote again air quotes the political thing to do is show your hand and says, hey, regardless if you support me or not, I'm going to support you, because it's the right thing to do, because I believe in what they do for the community, especially in relation to kids. When we had that, when the car fire happened, they were the, I will say they were, you know, 90% the reason that I was able to stay there and made the decision, along with, at the time, Reading Neighborhood Church, now Pathway, I made the decision to stay open with my athletes an extra 2 weeks, is because the Rancheria supported them. And that's huge, huge. And they're in the middle of losing their homes, and yet they're thinking about kids.
Right.
That's huge to me.
Well, I think that's all we got. How can people get a hold of you?
VoteKevinCry, .com. And then, of course, on my Facebook, you can go to VoteKevinCry.com. On August 7th, I have a Texas Hold'em tournament at Red Lion. You could register online for that at VoteKevinCry.com. And then, yes, I'll put a lot of stuff on there about the upcoming, not just radio show, but also like just getting people from the community together, and then just holding people's feet to the fire, like different organizations that can't ever seem to get in the same room. And I'm working really hard to put them all in the same room and say, look,
right. This
isn't about finger pointing, but let's just call it what it is. Let's get us all here,
right?
And get some movement. No more talk. We've talked about this, and Reading's getting less safe, less clean, less affordable.
Right.
It's
got to
stop, and it's got to stop now.
I think that's it.
I think that's it. I think we're coming to the top of the hour.
Thank you guys.
Thanks.
So
thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you both.
You bet.
All right. You have a wonderful day. And with that, we will see y'all on the other side. We have another guest in the studio to cover some other things.
All right. Very good.
All right.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Saturday morning with 0% containment, says Cal Fire's Natasha Fouts.
We had a dangerous rate of spread due to dry winds. Heavy fuel load.
She says dead trees killed by bark beetles spread the fire quickly. So far, at least 10 structures have burned, and the high heat is making it hard on firefighters. Meanwhile, the Washburn fire that was threatening those giant sequoia trees in Yosemite is roughly 80% contained, says the National Park Service's Kevin Sweeney.
Not a single giant sequoia in the Mariposa Grove was killed during the fire.
I'm Julie Walker.
More bad news for President Biden in the latest numbers from Real Clear Politics. Here's correspondent Bob Agnew.
Real Clear Politics is out with its summation of surveys on the president's job performance. The combined tally of several surveys over the past 2 weeks gives the president an approval rating of just 37.2%, with 57.1% who disapprove. The grim numbers come at a time when there's a growing call inside the Democrat Party to nominate somebody other than President Biden to be the party's nominee in 2024. Bob Agner reporting.
Meanwhile, the White House COVID-19 coordinator says that the president is feeling a lot better after testing positive for the virus last week. Dr. Ashish Jha confirms the 79-year-old chief executive has been infected with a highly contagious BA5 variant that has been spreading across the country. Russian defense officials are insisting an airstrike on the port of Odessa less than a day after Russia and Ukraine agreed to an agreement resuming grain shipments from there had struck only military targets. More on these stories from townhall.com.
You were lied to when buying a timeshare and worn out? You need my help. Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshare and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have 383 employees and have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine timeshare dollars back in your pocket. If you were told in a timeshare presentation that this was available today and today only, that timeshare was a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, call my office now. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242.
The Chicago Police Department says three people were shot at a church funeral on Saturday afternoon.
Police told reporters that three people were shot in the 0 to 100 block of East 108th Street at around 2:30 p.m., which is outside the Universal Community Missionary Church. The three victims who were attendees of the funeral were outside the church when the shooting happened, and police say that someone in a car drove by and fired shots at them. According to the police, the victims range in age from 20 years old to 37 years old and were transported to a local hospital in good condition. Police say the incident is now under investigation and no individuals are in custody. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Italian vessels have recovered five bodies and rescued nearly 700 more people packed on a fishing boat adrift in the Mediterranean off the Libyan coast. European charities have picked up another 500 from a different boat. Some of the survivors had to be plucked from the sea in the Italian Coast Guard operation. News and analysis at townhall.com. Baseball legend Pete Rose will appear on the field in Philadelphia next month for the first time since receiving a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball.
Baseball's career hits leader will take part in the Philadelphia Phillies Alumni Weekend this August 7th. Rose will be introduced on the field with many former teammates from the 1980 World Series championship team. Larry Boa, the starting shortstop on that 1980 team, made the announcement about Rose on Saturday night's telecast of the Cubs-Phillies game. A Phillies spokesperson has confirmed Boa's statement.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Today is Sunday, July the 24th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including political cartoonist Pat Oliphant, who's 87 years old. Actress Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, 71 years old today. Former Senator Claire McCaskill, the Democrat of Missouri, is 69. Country singer Pam Tillis, 65. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I can hear me.
I can hear you.
Throw me a river.
Now come on down.
Oh boy, we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
We're just commenting on the idiot in the chat room. It's kind of funny after a while. It's like, good grief.
But it's so disgusting. Well, I mean, you know, really.
Idiots, you're too kind. Too kind, Mark. Tell us what you really think.
Well, I guess
tomorrow
that,
on
that,
the podcast.
I think it, they're actually.
No, we don't have that.
I think they're actually an idiot is a step or two up from you know,
slug.
There's moron, there's imbecile, and idiot, and there's IQ level for each.
There's other words that go below that, but we probably shouldn't say much.
My question is, can you play the banjo? Are you cross-eyed? Do you live in a southern state?
Some states only have 13 last names in the entire state.
Do you even have a tree, let alone grow straight up, you know? Geez,
anyway, so let's figure out what we're doing here. We've got Rich Gallardo in here with us. He's in charge of a lot of stuff, including the Shasta County Citizens Journalists.
Shasta County Citizen Journalist.
Thank you.
Journalist.
Singular.
Tongue-tied there for a second.
Did you get that?
We've known each other for a long time. Rich is a great guy. He's been involved in everything that has anything to do with staying free in the Constitution and following the law. You know, and you know, we always get into this. You know, I listen to some of these guys, and it's like, you got to follow the rule of law. And it's like, they don't even know what the rule of law is. They think that the rule of law is whatever the government tells you, right. Not what the law says, you know.
It's not the same?
No. If they change the law to take away your freedoms, is that the law that you're supposed to follow?
Yeah. No, and you did a really good job in the last few months parsing out the book, The Law, by Frederick Bastiat. And please, everybody, please read that. It will open your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that everybody should read at least once because, you know, law is force. You know, and that's the problem, is that you've got the people that are in power right now that are using the law and weaponizing it against people. It's not rule of law. That is tyranny. That is exactly the opposite of rule of law. When you are no longer, and I'll give the example of the last few days of Nancy Pelosi. Insider trading, everybody knows it. Even the left media pundits and morons are questioning, well, your husband just traded for a bunch of stock that you just approved a bill on that's going to be favorable and make it go up in value. Did you ever talk to your husband about that? And it's like, well, of course not. And
I know nothing.
It's like, yeah, right. And we're all stupid too, right? Yeah. But that's a problem.
Well, some are, but not us.
We need to get back to the rule of law that it is it enforced equally across on the board. And that's not what we're seeing now. What we're seeing is the left in charge rewarding their friends and punishing their enemies.
Yeah. So speaking of the rule of law, so Chrisanne Hall has, in the last year and a half, she's been talking about peaceful noncompliance.
Correct.
Right. This you also, mentioned this, that the last time.
This kind of goes into the Frederick Bastiat book, The Law. So we all want to be law-abiding citizens, right? That's a natural thing to want, to be a law-abiding citizen. But
to be
we
good,
really need to start changing that.
We want to have a more. We want to live under a moral society that respects everybody else's rights.
Correct. The laws need to be rooted in ethics, morality, the Bill of Rights, the Constitutions, maybe even some religious doctrine, because that's how our country was founded, Judeo-Christian values.
Right.
And using those values is how our country got so powerful so quickly.
Well, and, you know, a good example of this is that I'm not against people who are gay. I'm not against people who are black. I'm not against anybody who's a minority. I'm not against Mexicans. What I'm against is unlawful entry into the country. I'm against people teaching my kids what they think they should know as far as their values. I'm against them telling my kids that they're racist simply by the color of their skin. And that seems to be, conflated with all this stuff, and that's the big rub about the school boards and the teaching and what's going on the curriculum, you know, the CRT. Oh, we're not teaching that, but we really are.
I'm against somebody telling me what I should be feeling and what I should be doing while they're doing whatever they want to do.
It's real simple.
That's not
right. It's
called
the golden rule.
Mm-hmm. You know,
respect your neighbor's beliefs as long as they respect your belief. And she's got a weird thing going on with her mic. That was weird. There's a troll in the,
in the microphone.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden it's raising up by itself. It was like magic.
But
it's really true. You know, doing to others as you would have them doing to you is a pretty basic premise of the whole thing, you know, and I don't want to push my religious beliefs on anybody else, but at the same time, if they are killing people, I think that that's illegal and they should be punished for it. It's pretty simple.
So you mentioned the school boards.
Yay.
Are we talking about school boards?
Let's talk about school boards.
Okay. Well, so I'm basically going to review stuff I talked about on the last show, but we have a different audience here, so it's going to be a repeat for me, but maybe some new information for some of the listeners in this audience. So I'm kind of taking the lead in Shasta County to try to get some folks together at the grassroots level to run for school boards. And the whole basis from the school board thing is, especially during COVID really opened the eyes of a lot of people, parents and the public and everything, with regards to overbearing control of your students. The curriculum was exposed because a lot of students went home with their computers and the parents saw what the school was teaching. That wasn't a good thing.
Yeah, I guess when you've got Che Guevara up on the wall with a Marxist fist and you're teaching everybody the 10 platforms of the Communist Manifesto, that's a problem for some people.
Yep.
Maybe.
And so, so this is a nationwide push to take back school boards now. Absolutely. So, and we're no different in this county for that same reason. And there's some volunteer parent citizen groups, even in California, that are doing similar things that I'm doing here locally. They're giving training online to show people, run for school board. Here's how you do it. Here's the reason to do it. Here's what you can and can't do as a school board member. And so it's great. It's excellent. Lance Christensen, who's running for state superintendent of public instruction, he's part of one of these groups. I forget their name at the moment. But he's given some online seminars, which I've, of course, watched. And so this is a great push, great meaning good. It is a good push everywhere in the country. And so I'm trying to get a lot of people. We have approximately 94 school board seats open right now.
I can't believe it's that much. That kind of surprised me when I heard that this morning. It's like, there's that many?
Well, about 41 boards, which is public school.
There's that many?
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy.
Well, this is actually a good thing.
I get it. Just separation of the power and
the
structure.
The closer your representative is to the citizenry, the better, right?
Sure.
The closer you are with it. But that means more. That means more smaller governance as opposed to fewer larger governance.
Oh, I'm
right?
totally with you. I was just power. I was just surprised that there was that many.
The and school board level is almost the smallest sized representative government we have.
And
is at the school board
yeah,
level.
And to your point there, my understanding is they're trying to get it where it is just like one big
It's going there, of course.
For get rid of like the 94 and go to like one person.
That's
quote unquote.
Isn't that everything
delegate.
Now? Yeah. Everything now is about consolidating power in the hands of a few.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And people don't know that. I didn't know that until I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like, holy crap, that's not a good thing.
So for now, yes, and that's another story. That's definitely another show. But for now, let's get into our local school boards, and let's put some like-minded, patriotic, constitution-fearing, and I'll dare I say it, some God-fearing people into some of these school boards. Now that, you know, you're not going to go in there and espouse your religion, but the tenets of your religion, the golden rule, right?
Right.
Thou shalt not. There's no reason you can't espouse those tenets into your school board philosophy. Absolutely not. Just don't do it in a religious manner.
I want them to learn history, not revisionist history.
Yes.
I want them to learn how to read, how to write, how to do mathematical problems. I don't want them to be politically spun into little good Marxist minions that do whatever the government tells them.
Well, I think I would like the children to get their that we have an input in what is they're being taught, I guess is what I want to say, instead of the government going, no, this is what you need to teach them. I think the parents and everybody should be involved and be able to be in the process and say, no, like you say, we want math over here or whatever the circumstance is.
Yeah, and we'll get into that, too, a little later. But for now, let's stick with the basics. So the filing period is open now. It opened this past Monday. The first deadline is August 12th. And if nobody files or an incumbent does not file, that will extend to August 17th. So we're in the window now to file. Anybody willing to work to run for local school board, please get a hold of me. I will give you my email address, rjgallardo@protonmail.com. And that's rjgallardo@protonmail.com. Get a hold of me. I'll get you in the loop. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to educate folks on how to run the filing information, the paperwork, any costs involved, and there may be there's optional costs involved. What the power and the autonomy of the school board has, what you can and can't do, what you should and shouldn't do, the Constitution, the federal and state constitution, how those play a part, the state law, the education code, the government code. So I'm getting information out, and if anybody knows me in this town, that's what I do is I get facts and data and I disseminate it. And so that's my part now is right now I need to get people to run for school boards. I will help them. Just send me that email. I will get you in the loop. And then once the filing period is over and now we have the people that are running for school board, I'm going to continue education. I'm going to continue educating them on those matters, the constitutions, the laws, et cetera, and their place and what they can and can't do, et cetera. So this is the beginning of a process. And after they're in office, I'm also going to continue basically an ongoing continuing education with all of these folks that need information. They need answers or they want suggestions for policies and procedures. So this is going to be a long-standing thing here in Shasta County. And we get enough people in office that can start making good policies and procedures and starting to peacefully reject the laws, policies, procedures, right? Critical race, social emotional learning, all that stuff. There's a plan. I'm putting a good plan together, in my opinion, and we get people, we just got to get people to run. We've got to get people to get in.
Because I take it there hasn't been really anybody running opposed to the people that have been in there forever and ever, whatever the case is.
Because of the environment nationwide now of parents wanting, not happy with their school boards. So that by itself is getting some people to file, which is good. And the way you file, folks, by the way, is you got to go to the county registrar's office. And the lady's name is Mary Paul. Very nice lady. Excellent lady. Very knowledgeable. You can call 225-5730 ahead of time. Make an appointment to see her. It takes about 30 minutes to file to run for school board. You can email her at mpaul, P-A-U-L, at co.shasta.ca.us. You can contact her that way. So get in there. Get in there by the 12th and file. Get a hold of me, and we'll get you in the loop. We'll get you in the loop. We'll get you filed. We'll get you – hopefully we'll get you seated. And we're going to just make some crazy, crazy cool changes.
Does it cost to file? I would imagine, like anything, there's probably a little bit of cost.
There is not. And also for school board runs, you do not need to get proponent signatures.
Okay, that was my
next question. There is no filing fee for school boards. It's unique to school boards.
Wow.
There's no proponents and there's no filing fee. So there's
no cost. Do you have a map of the different school districts? Do you have to live in your school district in order to run?
Yes. You have to be eligible, and by the way, I covered this morning, in the education code, some elected offices, you only have to be eligible to vote and live, you know, you have to be eligible to vote for the office that you want to run for.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
You don't have to actually be registered, just eligible.
But a school board, it's in the education code, you must be a registered voter also.
Okay.
And yes, you must live in the jurisdiction, the district that you want to run for. You have to be eligible to vote, you have to register to vote, and you have to live in that jurisdiction. So, there's an additional requirement for school boards, which I found interesting.
I think that also you're starting to see a lot of people just pull their kids out of their schools and put them someplace else where they trust the school.
So I've been doing some copious research on the California Department of Education website this last couple of weeks, because I have filed to run for county Board of Education Area 2. So is Arthur Gorman. So I'm doing copious research in anticipation of a campaign run, and maybe if I can get a debate, I don't know. I don't think they're going to show up, but I'm obviously going to try to force a debate on my opponents. So I'm getting statistics together for that purpose. But we have approximately 26,000 public school students in Shasta County. That would also be charter schools, also public.
Right.
The state of California, last year to this school year, they went from 6.1 million public school students in California to 5.8, 5% drop in 1 year.
Yeah. Wow.
That is considerable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So those folks are taking their kids either they're going to a home school or these, we'll call them private schools, but they're learning centers, they're whatever, right? We've had, I think I can count on, I think there's 7 or 8 private schools in this county now, and one just announced the other day.
I heard that.
Arise. Yeah. I think it's called Arise Academy, I believe. So that's an additional one now. And so people are pulling their kids out of public school like crazy, you know. And obviously somebody like me, I am going back to work here pretty quick. So
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. My vacation's over, but it hasn't really been a vacation. So, you know, some people have to have their kids in public school, right? For work purposes or whatever, and that's just how it is.
Well, it's expensive because you're paying
double. And the cost.
Well, you're paying double. You're paying not only your property taxes for, you know, regular school, funding, but then you're also paying if you have to pull them out because you don't like what's going on in there and they're not, doing what they should be doing. It's really hard on the people no matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Yeah, and it needs to go back to the people. Like you say, if people start getting involved and running on school boards, maybe the government won't be the ones that are so much in charge of what happens to the kids in our area and maybe elsewhere.
Yeah, and for people that are thinking about running, that's another thing I'm doing is I'm researching the different programs throughout California because they're the same throughout the state. Because as a school board member, you know, 3 days before the meeting, you get an agenda and you see all these acronyms and programs and you see all this money being spent and this and that. And, you know, initially it's going to seem kind of overwhelming, right? Uh-huh. Especially if you have little to no knowledge of the bureaucratic side of the school system. Because once you're an elected official, sorry, you're a bureaucrat, whether you want to admit it or not. But you are. But you're going to be doing a good thing. Okay, the bureaucrat doesn't necessarily mean, right, that there's connotations to that word. But you're right, you're going to be right. a bureaucrat. Sorry, that's just the reality. But you know, you can be in there for the right reasons and do the right things. And that's, again, I was saying I'm going to be a resource for people to if they have questions about certain programs. And it's going to be kind of daunting at first. But as you get your feet wet and you're going through the meetings and you're going to have to do a little bit of research away from those board meetings, you're going to need to get online and research these things, because that's the only way you can make an educated decision as a board member,
right.
is to do your own research. Right. The principal there and the superintendent, they'll give you the highlights of the programs and this and that, but they're not going to do the deep dive for you. They're just not. Okay, they're busy. They have a lot to do. So you're going to have to take some of your own time. And getting in with that, there's really no money involved in a school board if you're there. You're allowed to maybe have a stipend of sorts. It is in the code where a school board member may receive, depending on the size of the school, they may receive $100 or $200 a month for attending school board meetings. That's just gas money. But there's no money in it. And that's fine. It doesn't mean, you know, that's not a bad thing. That's just a reality. There's no money in it. But so any time you're spending, it's you're not really reimbursed per se.
Right.
So it's going to be a labor of love. If you're going to get into a school board, you're going to have to spend some time. And
how often do they meet?
Roughly once a month.
Okay.
They'll meet once a month. And a lot of times they have to have what's called an organizational meeting by November, December of each year. And sometimes they can put that in with a normal monthly meeting. Maybe sometimes it'll be a special meeting. And then usually by May or June, they're going to hold an additional monthly meeting for budgetary reasons
right.
for the next school year. But a lot of them don't meet in July either. A lot of school boards don't meet in July.
Hmm.
They just take the month off. It's their summer off kind
right.
of thing. So it's approximately once a month. So it's not horrible.
Well,
right,
you
it's
know,
not like some.
People have to be involved in this government experiment.
Correct.
You know, I mean, that's part of the price of freedom.
Are they usually right. at night during the day?
The vast majority of them are in the evenings, 5:30 or 6 p.m., vast majority. There's one that Millville School, they meet at 7 a.m. in the morning. And then here's the one that perplexes me. Shasta County Board of Education, they meet at 1:30 in the afternoon. So how many parents can attend that?
Yeah, that's why I was asking.
Yeah.
So they're one of the few.
Well,
that don't do the evening. Huh.
Well,
that's
if I get on that board and I have a majority, that will be changing, period. Yes. You heard me, Judy. That will be changing. We'll be having evening meetings so parents can attend.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, fortunately, some of us are working at 1:30 in the
yes.
afternoon.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's the crux of basically running, how to file, where to file, et cetera.
How long is the office for, usually, that when you take position? How long is the position for?
So originally, these are 4-year positions. Quite a few of the positions being listed now, and there's probably 10 or so of the 94 that are listed as short-term, meaning 2-year. And the only reason those are short-term is likely because somebody resigned from a position and there was no appointment to fill behind them, or there's certain reasons, but the normal rotation
okay.
For most boards in the California anyways, the normal rotation is the majority is up one election cycle, and then 2 years later the rest of them are up. So
right.
for a 5-member board, that would typically mean 3 are up for election one cycle and then 2 the next, and vice versa. County Board of Education is on a weird rotation right now. They're on a 5-2 rotation, which is interesting. And it meets the intent of the law, so that's not the issue. But right now, 5 of those spots are open.
Wow.
We can literally take over that County Board of Education right now this year in one fell swoop. So Arthur and I have filed for both of the Area 2 seats, so we hope we're covered there. The other 3 seats are what's called Area 1, which is basically City of Reading proper and the
okay.
surrounding areas. And there's a weird arm going up northwest through Keswick that's part of Area 1. So anybody listening that lives in Area 1, which is more or less City of Reading proper, We need three people to file for County Board Area 1. You can call the number I gave you earlier, County Elections Office, 225-5730, and talk to Mary or email her and give her your address and say, hey, what boards am I eligible to run for? And she will tell you exactly which seats you're eligible to run for. And then you file. You file for, you pick which ones that you think.
What's that number? What's the number again?
225-5730.
225-5730.
Yeah, and there's a menu there. I want to say hers is press 4. I believe pressing 4 will get you the mirror or something like that. Oh. But
so that's kind of unusual that the 5 are coming up all together. Will it stay that way? Do you know? You know what I mean? Is that going to be the cycle for it? Or
that you know, I don't want to waste too much time on that for today's show, but that cycle can change. It absolutely can change.
Okay.
So, again, once a board and a board has a lot of power and authority and autonomy, okay? They're elected officials. Mm-hmm. They're elected by constituents, by voters. When they're in office, they take the oath to the state and the federal constitution.
Yeah.
Those are the only three things they need to do what they think is right for their district, for their school district. They don't need anything else. They don't need any other permission. They absolutely can make decisions. And let me go back to let me read this state law. Now listen to this. This is the Education Code 35160. Legislature finds and declares that school districts, boards of education, and superintendents have diverse needs unique to their communities and programs. Sound good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, in addressing their needs, common as well as unique, the school districts, boards of education, and superintendents should have the flexibility to create their own unique solutions. I love that.
So shouldn't be shall.
Isn't that beautiful?
But should be shall. I mean, should indicates that it's optional. I mean,
correct.
Shouldn't that be shall?
Of course it should be. But when I get in office, I'm going to treat that as a shall.
Okay. Yeah. Okay? Good.
The state doesn't tell me I should do anything. Absolutely not.
Right.
As an elected, if I'm an elected board member, I'm going to say what I believe needs to be done. The state doesn't get to tell me what I should do.
Well, I think that's
where
we
got to
start getting a little bit of backbone.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
absolutely. Everybody
needs to stiffen up a little bit here and quit going, oh, you know, I need to do whatever I'm told.
Yeah, and right. And
Or you can go to the Board of Supervisors and go, I'm afraid to be here. What a bunch of frickin' children, you know?
I'm scared.
So, unfortunately, the system is set up, all government systems in the United States, unfortunately, are set up where it's politics and money, right? Politics and money makes the world go round, or the world doesn't spin because of politics and money. So unfortunately, if school boards, it doesn't matter. If anybody tries to buck the system, there's going to be political and financial ramifications. That's just the reality. It just is, right? Well, you're going to have to be ready for that. We're getting screwed regardless. Okay, these current board members, the vast majority of them, they're just perpetuating a system which is highly flawed. And look where this system has gotten us at all levels, right? Not just the school boards. But look where this has got us.
Right.
So are we going to just perpetuate the system and still get screwed in the end? Or how about we try to change the system at the local level and we're still going to get screwed? But what are we doing, right? We need to make change for the kids and the parents. Okay. They should be first. In fact, my business cards that I have coming for my run for Area 2, it says kids and parents first, fiscal responsibility, and individual choice.
Those and with that, I don't mean to cut you off, but we need to go to a break.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. You were on a roll,
all right,
but we do have to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Bob the Drive.
Hoff here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together. If I die young, bury me in sand, lay me down on a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn, send me away with the words of a love song. Oh, 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 oh. Lord, make can hardly hear it. Ethan called you. No, the music. Oh, we're back.
I think we're back.
We're back. We're back. So where were you since we're back?
Taking a breath, I guess. I guess I was ranting.
I did want to interrupt you, but we did have to take a break. So I was, yeah. So what's next on your list over there? I know you have a whole bunch of stuff.
Plenty.
Where do you want to go?
But yeah, so... I'm doing copious research on the laws, like I was saying. And once everybody's in place to run, I will be performing additional training sessions for people that are now that will then be listed to run for school boards. And I'm gonna give them the legal side of the house, the autonomy, the authority, the constitution, the government codes, the election codes, etc. And I'm going to give them as much knowledge as I can so that I can empower them to make good decisions once they're a board member. And I mentioned peaceful noncompliance a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Ann Hall uses that term. Because civil disobedience is no longer appropriate. We talked about, not following laws, not following bad laws. And we have so many bad laws in this state, it's not even funny. Not just the school laws, all the laws, right?
All the laws, yeah.
The gun laws, everything else. So we have to just change that paradigm, and we got to get people in the office that will be willing to buck the system. Just make sure you have a good reason, a good ethical, moral, constitutional reason to say, look, this is not in the best interest of my district, and this is what I'm going to do and why I'm going to do it. And again, I was talking about the ramifications. There will be ramifications. Of course there will be. But you got to do it. You just have to do it. If only one school board starts to buck the system, then the state will come in and maybe the feds, depending on if you're getting federal money, which most are,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to come in and they're going to target you. Right? This is human nature, right? If a very small, right, it's hanging together, hanging separately thing, right? So we got to get control of the majority of school boards, and then all of these school boards must come together and collaborate to make these same very bold decisions, to basically give the proverbial middle finger to the state and the feds and say, no, sorry.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll go over a few of the things. I'm making a copious list here on things that I'm going to change when I get in, and I can get a board majority to vote for certain things. We talked earlier about the California Healthy Youth Act. That came in, 5-6 years ago, roughly. And there's a bunch of sexual education that comes in via the California Healthy Youth Act.
Yes.
That does not require parental consent. So standard sexual ed in California, you have to get affirmative active consent, meaning the parent has to sign a piece of paper. Yes, you can give my kid sex ed. That's called active consent. And real quick, I'll cover passive consent. Passive consent is where the school is going to do something with your child unless the parent signs a document prohibiting that action. That's what's called passive consent.
So yeah, the parent so it does used nothing, to be that you know you took the note home and the parent signed it.
That's active consent. For sex
and
ed.
Took it back. Now if you don't sign it, make your like your own thing up and say
correct.
I opt out and send
correct.
It with the child.
Correct.
They automatically
they
assume you agree with what they want to do.
Correct. And what's important here, now that we're talking about passive consent real quick, at the beginning of every school year, your kid should be coming home with a huge packet of information at the beginning of every school year. Most parents don't read that packet. It's extremely boring because it's just about laws, procedures, policies, right?
Right.
And most parents don't have that interest. But I read it because I'm interested in what the heck is going on with my kid at school. So typically in those packages, it'll give you, you know, what's going to happen for that school year for that's going to require active consent. And there should also be information in there of what's going to happen that school year where passive consent is in play.
Okay.
And that's the notice to the parents. Oop, this is going to happen unless you opt your kid out. And that's the notice for the parents to say, all right, I need to affirmatively do something to opt my kid out of this stuff. And so passive consent, yeah, I don't like that either. But getting back to the California Healthy Youth Act, there's no consent required. It's not an active or passive consent item in the California Healthy Youth Act. So our criminal legislature put in the California Healthy Youth Act some very vile, disgusting sexual ed type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents don't get any consent at all, active or passive. It just gets taught.
And it's taught under different
it's the Healthy Youth Act? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it may be in a subject you wouldn't think that they would be teaching the health.
Correct. And that's happened.
Know,
and
sex education.
Yeah, And a lot of this left-leaning liberal social indoctrination type topics in schools today, those topics are sprinkled throughout most of the curriculum.
Yeah, exactly.
Even in math. I mean, even in math questions, you're going to see some left-leaning liberal topics regarding, you know, we're not counting sheep anymore in math, right? We're counting sex toys and whatever else.
Yeah.
But I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. It is inserted into the curriculum at so many different levels, it's not even funny. And that's intentional. That's just to make it where it's almost impossible to avoid your kids' exposure to this stuff.
Not only that, you know, but the parent doesn't know.
That too.
You know, there's no way, unless you're looking at every single subject all the time,
right,
that you would know that they're slipping in
right.
that stuff.
And social emotional learning, that's another thing that needs to go. Critical race theory, which of course, that's what, I'll say woke, that's woken up a lot of parents in the last, 6 months. Also, not just the COVID, the masking, forced vaccinations are coming. They're not going to happen this school year, but likely next year. That law will likely pass. So that's coming to DEI. Here's a new one I just heard of last week. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's coming too.
And what would that include?
I don't know yet. It just got
announced.
It just got announced. So, but there's a bunch of things in here, and the school board can enact policies. They can accept and reject curriculum. They absolutely can do that, by the way. Even though the State Board of Education and the California Department of Education, they push down to the local school levels recommendations for curriculum and stuff. They push down the Common Core standards, right? They're standards.
So
all Common Core is a standard. It's a curriculum that is what the kid gets exposed to that has to be looked at by the parents and the boards. And
right.
the teachers.
Right. So at the Shasta County level, at this level, they could say, no, we're not accepting your standards. We want to do ours.
Well, again, this goes back to peaceful noncompliance, right? Because
yeah.
there's some very, very inappropriate things in the Common Core standards, especially when it comes to sex ed stuff.
Yeah.
There's sex ed standards in the Common Core standards for, you know, from kindergarten up.
Yep.
And that stuff, it's right there. But again, they're standards, right? And even if it was a law that says you shall, no, that's not the right thing for our, remember that law I just read, right?
Yeah.
About unique situations and unique resolutions. right? Unique solutions.
Right. Right?
I'm going to pull that pin every time. Say, no, this is what tells me I get to do what I think's right for my school district, regardless of what the state says, regardless of what the feds say. You just have to say, no, not doing it. And so as far as the curriculum's concerned, you'll get a set of accepted curriculum every year from the California Department of Education, State Board of Education. And then most districts, they just look at it and say, oh, okay, well, let's pick this and pick that. And then they get the money associated with that curriculum because it's been approved at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So you can deny that stuff and then pick your own curriculum. And there's no money comes with that. But there's so many really good online programs now. And because of COVID, those programs they have expanded considerably. There's a lot of good, honest K-12 curriculum programs online that don't cost a lot of money. And some of them, I don't know if it's $500 or $1,000, you know, a month or whatever. You don't think a school district can't afford, you know, $500 or $1,000 a month to get access to this really good, honest curriculum?
Right.
And then it's printing costs after that, right? So how is it you don't find some of these alternative K-12 curriculums that are out there and just go with it?
Well, you don't find them if you're not looking.
They're out there, though.
Care enough. They're just taking the, as it sits right now, the standards or whatever, the guidelines from the state.
Doing the easy thing.
They're
perpetuating the system, mm-hmm. which is the easy thing.
It's the system.
Yes, and it's the least time consuming.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything. It's all there for me, and I just go,
Right? So in order to do this correctly, we have to put in that time and effort to research the programs, to research alternative curriculum programs and costs associated with that. The school board can absolutely do that. The paradigm is shifting.
I totally agree.
Paradigm is shifting in schools, okay? And this is going to be the first key school board election cycle. Now, there was a school election cycle in November of 2020, but we were still only, about 5 or 6 months into the COVID. And the vaccine hadn't even come out yet. And so people still weren't quite sure yet. This CRT, I think, is what really, really pushed it over the top. There was already good reasons to take the school boards back before CRT. But the CRT thing, boy, did it wake up a lot of people.
Yeah, it did.
Right. And now this DEI thing's coming, too. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Who knows what that's going to be like? Not good, probably.
Well, actually,
right?
You know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be promoting their agenda of everything that is, what they want or think that it should be, not what you think or want or what it should be.
This could just be a CRT renamed to DEI.
Right.
Because CRT is now not a good thing to let pass your lips.
Nobody yeah, because they didn't think that the parents and people would get so...
Well, they
would find out how deep it was going and everything it was doing until they started looking at it and they're going, oh, no, look at this.
Well, they just lie about everything. They said it wasn't even in the schools at first. Yep. So they just lie about everything. Now that people are deep diving into what's going on, I don't think you can't put them back to sleep now because people have just had enough of these guys. You know, they lie about everything. That's the problem with the left. They lie about everything. They have they don't believe there's ever going to be an accountability or a reckoning. And I think, and I hope and I pray that they're absolutely wrong because that is exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, this election cycle for school boards. It'll be like no year, like no election cycle for school boards that we've seen in probably decades, right? We're in a unique time in that respect.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. I still need more people to get a hold of me if they want the services I'm offering for free.
That's awesome that you're doing that because that certainly can help somebody if somebody's kind of holding your hand a little bit,
Absolutely.
Because we don't have time to know everything.
Absolutely.
You know, so I take my hat off to you too.
I think what we're going to end up doing is probably just shutting down the chat room after a while because it's,
we had a discussion off air about that. Yeah, maybe we'll talk again about that.
We might need to get the Gab chat going.
Yeah,
whatever.
This person doesn't stop.
Yeah.
So, talk about foul.
I know, it's bad. Yeah.
Well, it's everywhere, and these people just think they can do whatever they want, and nobody's supposed to care, or just let them do, and they just keep getting away with it. And they're cowards, you know, they really are. Yep. They're just cowardly. They hide behind their little keyboards thinking they're, you know, somehow smart.
Yep.
And really what they are is a pathetic individual who has no life other than, being
probably in mama's
moron.
Basement.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Well, giving them airtime. Yeah, well, we don't want to give them airtime either. As much
no, that's true.
Avoid it.
So, okay.
So another thing coming for the school boards is Governor Newsom just announced a $3 billion 7-year program for community schools partnership. Let me give that to you in a nutshell, folks.
Yeah.
That is from your kids' time they wake up to the time they go to sleep. The schools want to provide everything for them.
Oh.
And omit the parents.
Right.
$3 billion, 7 years. And I've never worked for a school district. I've never been a teacher in a school district, but most of the school folks that we know locally here now that are our friends, they confirm this, that for the last 20, 30 years, the schools have never been given their full allocated funding based on their school attendance. They get roughly 60 to 80% of the money they should be getting based on the attendance. And the governor or the state legislator, somebody, they're holding back. That's a huge portion. Even if it's only 20%, that's still a big portion. But they do this every year. They hold back this money, and they give the school district an IOU. But then the next year, they give them another IOU. And then the next year, another IOU. They never see that money again. So
where does the money go? Do we know?
Remember, we live in a criminal state.
That's
so
true.
We have to ask the criminals.
Thank you.
We've got to ask the criminals that question. So here's the governor now all of a sudden handing out $3 billion for a new program, right? But you only get the money if you're going to follow the program.
You're going to do what I say when I say
How about you just give them the money they're supposed to be getting already and let the schools direct that funding where they need it and not force a new program down their throats? You're offering them money. Just give them the money you already owe them.
Right.
Under the existing, system and programs. Why pile on new programs? Well, we already know the answer to that question, right? It's about control.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you see, a board can say, nope, we don't want that money. We don't want that program. You just literally just deny it. Say, nope, not doing it. Just like our county board of supervisors can do the same thing with state and federal money that come in for grants and health and human services. They can just say, nope, we don't want the money.
That's no.
It. You just say no. You literally just vote, nope, don't want the money, send it back to where it came from. And then you go about your business. That's it. School boards can do the same thing with these programs and all this money. Just say, nope, not following that program. We don't want that money if it's attached to that program. Sorry. That's just it. And let me tell you something that's really interesting because I'm researching County Office of Education intensely, obviously, because I'm running. The County Board of Education has approximately 170 students. Okay, they run special ed. They run independent study for the kids that get in trouble, can't make it in normal schools. There's a third program, but they only have 170 students for the Shasta County Board of Education. Funny how when all this money, the ARPA money, the COVID money, they had three rounds of money coming into the school since COVID. Right.
Okay.
They had COVID, they had ARPA, then they had a supplemental. I forgot the name of that one. The county, most of the schools in this county got anywhere from the average, because we have a lot of schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 26 or 28 districts, and some of them have multiple schools. Approximately, I'm going to pick an average. I have the spreadsheet on my computer. And most schools got roughly anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 per child.
Okay.
With this extra money that came in since COVID. County Office of Education, they got $25,000 per student.
Wow.
They have 170 students.
That's
I'm wondering
crazy.
Where that money went.
Yeah, that adds
exactly.
a few bucks here and there.
And even these larger school districts, Shasta Union, Reading, Enterprise, and all that, they got maybe $4,000 or $5,000 per student. And they have how many more students than 170? Considerably more.
Yeah.
And well, you know, I wonder if you could get into the budget and figure out where the money went.
Oh, trust me, if I get on that board, there might be some reduction.
Yeah.
There might be some reduction in some services because I have the list of the County Office of Education employees. I have the list. 365 or so employees that work for the County Board of Education.
Wow.
They have 170 students.
Wow.
So
you think that it may be a little something wrong here?
There's more employees than there are students.
So the County Office of Education, they run a lot of programs through grant funding, through the county, through public health, et cetera. So the County Office of Education does a lot more things than educate their 170 students. They perpetuate this bureaucracy. Remember what I said about the Community Schools Partnership Program, right? So the County Office of Education is perpetuating psychologists for the school, after-school daycare. They have all these other programs in place, right? The youth centers, that are starting to sprinkle around the county. The County Office of Education has its hands in a lot of things above and beyond educating their 170 students, and they don't need to. Why are they doing that? If I get on that board, oh, trust me, things are going to change.
Well, we've seen this past, history why they do this. We know exactly why they do this.
Well, again, 365 employees for 170 students.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you one thing we know. We're living in the most corrupt time in the history of the world. I mean, you know, the old adage that the only thing for good people to prosper is for
good people to do nothing.
And that's really what's happened in the last 100 years, you know. I mean, people just want to be left alone. And
but, you know, what we've been doing here in Shasta for the last two and a half years, I call it the county colonoscopy, right? We have been exposing, you know, the corruption in this county probably like it's never been exposed before.
Right. And it, and there's a lot of pushback from that because people don't, these guys don't like the disinfectant of sunlight on them. And, and it's just going to keep happening.
Well, we've opened the can of worms and there's a lot of worms that are starting to come out of that can.
It's a
you
ton
know?
Of worms.
It's like, holy crap.
Well, and again, the school boards can make very effective decisions to change a lot of these things. The school boards don't have to perpetuate flawed programs. They don't have to perpetuate excessive spending. They don't have to perpetuate any of that stuff. They can say, not in my school district.
Right.
Not going to do it. Just like the SCOE, they don't need to be doing all these excessive programs, hence the 365
Yeah, but that's the nature of government.
It's
like I learned, you know, when I first went to work for the Forest Service when I was 14 years old, I was in a CETA program. We're making $1.35 an hour. You know, this is back in the day.
Yeah, I kind of remember those days too.
And, we were on fires and, you know, we were the guys that were sharpening tools and doing the menial stuff. And, and one of I saw them actually, the Forest Service, bury provisions just to get rid of them because that would then increase their budget the next year. If you didn't use the stuff or you saved the stuff or you stored it so you would preserve it, you know, then your budget would not be increased the next year because every year you had to have a budget increase.
Don't you remember our dad getting all mad about the school books?
No.
Of them burying the school books. For the same reason.
Yeah.
When we lived in the Bay Area, he'd come home and he was madder than hell over it that he watched them dig a big hole and put all the books in it and bury them. I'll never forget that because he was so mad.
Yeah, and the school systems obviously they're no different as far as their financing and their budgetary.
It's all about increasing it because it's kind of like the old, you know, I always relate this to the adage of the farmer and the employees. You know, the employees of the government are always about, oh, I need a raise and I need more benefits and I need retirement and I want more days off and increase in pay. And the farmer is out there going, I hope it rains today and, you know, I hope the crops don't fail. I mean, they're living in two different worlds and one world is based on the other world succeeding and they're not in reality.
Yeah. Let me tell you something else that's coming. It's exciting. It's good. So not only are parents across the country, going to start fighting to get their school boards back. And something I just saw this week, there's a couple of states and there's many school board districts that are, they're passing policies and resolutions and they're calling them the Parental Bill of Rights. And I don't have one in front of me brought up, cause they're kind of long, but, basically there's federal, doctrine, federal law, constitutional doctrine and it's also called the Parental Bill of Rights, but now that those Bill of Rights are being adopted at a more state or local level at schools.
Wow.
And if I get on a board, I will draft a similar policy / resolution. And it kind of ties into that code I read earlier about school boards having unique needs and the school board should have the ability to apply unique solutions. It's kind of a very similar thing, but this is geared towards the parental rights. Like the parent has the right to raise their kid. The parent has a right to do this. Parent has a right to do that. And this is all related to school, right?
Wow.
Curriculum, all the programs and everything else. So it's just a powerful thing that's coming also. And so this is going to happen at a lot of places around the country, this Parental Bill of Rights. And I think that's going to be a powerful basis for what are going to be new school boards. I hope a lot of school boards have a considerable political change after November. and we start putting this parental bill of rights in at all these different school board levels, I think that's going to be a powerful thing to base your decisions after that, is just keep that bill of rights there, put it right on the wall in the boardroom, right? Maybe the constitutions too.
Yeah, that'd be right. Yeah,
concept.
Yeah. Well, I might be having the Ten Commandments. I might, if I'm on the board, I might have the Ten Commandments on the walls too. Yeah, whatever. Come get me, right? If I can get my board to say, yes, we're going to have the Ten Commandments, right? That's not espousing religion. That's the Ten Commandments. That's the golden rule stuff. So that's not espousing a religion.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to put it up there where it says, you know, the Ten Commandments. Just put up their rules to live by.
I'll just put golden rule to top.
It's
going to be the Ten Commandments. And trust me, if I get on the board, that's happening. That's going to be on the walls of the school board office, and that's going to be in each classroom. You're darn straight.
Well, we got a couple of minutes.
I was going to say, so if you want to get out your contact information again, how they can get a hold of you would be great.
Yeah, I'll also give out a phone number also, 530-962-5168. That's a number you can get a hold of me regarding many issues, but to include if you want to run for school board. My email is rjgallardo, and I'll spell that, GALLARDO at protonmail.com. So get a hold of me. I'll get you into the mix of things. More meetings to happen. Lots of good trainings to happen once the filing window closes. And we've got hopefully several dozen folks, hopefully, that will have their names in the hat.
And when does that window close again?
Roughly August 12th. And if nobody files, if an incumbent and or somebody doesn't file, that will extend to the 17th. So.
All right. Well, I guess we're about at the end of the show
here.
Yeah, we are. The music's probably going to come
Thanks
on.
Thanks for coming second. In. We appreciate it. And, you know, come back in the future and let us know what's going on with it and who's got their hat in the ring and all that. That would be great.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me get my word out here.
Perfect. Anytime.
Thanks, Rich. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I guess we're there. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, and force is like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And we will see you next time. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I love it. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.